Thank you. Renee Thomas Warren was born on September 12, 1940, to the late Deck and Ruth Thomas. She was born again in 1954 at Bethsaida Baptist Church during a revival. After graduating from French Camp Academy in 1958, Renee received her undergraduate degree from Mississippi College in 1962, and later her master's in physical education. There she met the love of her life and her husband of 56 years, Chico Warren. The word trailblazer is thrown around a lot, but Renee Warren fits the description perfectly when it comes to collegiate athletics in Mississippi. Renee coached basketball, softball, and volleyball at Hines Junior College from 1966 to 1978, after which she was appointed assistant athletic director. In 1987, she was selected for the athletic director's job, and she became the first woman to hold the position in the Mississippi Community College system. During her tenure, the athletic teams at Hines Junior won 36 state and regional championships, produced 47 All-Americans, 9 academic All-Americans, and 2 distinguished All-Americans. She was also credited with managing the unification of athletic teams when Hines Junior and Utica Junior College merged in the early 1980s. In 1997, she received the National Junior College Athletic Association Loyalty Award for those who best upheld the ideals of the organization. She retired in 1997, and in 2001, the Renee T. Warren softball field was named in her honor. Renee was inducted into the Hines Sports Hall of Fame, class of 2003, and in the Mississippi Association of Community and Junior Colleges Hall of Fame in 2012. In retirement, she remained active in many Hines activities and served on the Sports Hall of Fame Selection Committee. Over the past 10 years, Renee would tell you that fishing with her husband on Lake Ruth and watching her grandson Brooks Warren play baseball were her favorite hobbies. Renee was an active member of Raymond Road Baptist Church in Raymond, Mississippi for over 45 years, where she taught Sunday school, went on numerous mission trips, and led the Bible drill program. There she lovingly was referred to as the general, as she had a distinct knack for getting jobs done and not being afraid to direct people and helping to accomplish that, while jumping in and giving it her all as well. In 2009, Renee moved back home to French Camp, where she implemented and directed the Bible drill program at Bethsaida Baptist Church, and she volunteered weekly at Mission Hope in Winona, Mississippi. Renee would tell you that her many years spent leading Bible drills was truly her most valuable work. She wanted more than anything for the children to hide God's word in their hearts and to draw on that for the rest of their lives. Through the years, hundreds of children have loved their Aunt Nay. Renee is survived by her husband, Chico Warren, of French Camp, her son, Robert Warren, and his wife, Tara, of Brandon, grandchildren, Summer Durr, and her husband, William, of Brandon, Brooks Warren of French Camp and Kale Baylott of Brandon, Brother Curtis Thomas and his wife Shamella of Raymond, and Brother Tony Thomas and his wife Pat of French Camp. Also by sister-in-law B.B. Williams and brother-in-law Danny Warren and his wife Frances, as well as numerous nieces and nephews. Mr. Chico wanted me also to add a few things here at the end. Some comments about Renee and a note that he wanted to write to her, as well as a message that he believes she would want you to hear today. So a few things about Renee. Renee was someone who walked her talk and then some, someone who preached Christ in the way she lived and also used words to express that. In the front of her Bible was written 3 John verse 4, which says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." She had a tremendous love for her family and all those that she met because of the love that she had experienced in Jesus Christ. While in the hospital, she said this about life: "It's not about what tomorrow holds, it's about who holds tomorrow." Yes, many knew her as Nene or Aunt Nay, but God knew her as a servant to him in this life as she lived her faith in her Savior, Jesus Christ. And while she did experience pain in her battle with cancer, now she knows no pain as she's face to face with Jesus. To Renee, your life changed me for the better. Never ever will I forget you and your everlasting love. Love you, Chico. P.S. Never will I be able to fill your shoes, but I promise I will be a witness for Jesus Christ. And this is a message that Renee would want you to hear. In the end, only one thing will matter. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? The highway to hell is paved with good intentions, but nothing, my friends, we can bring, but to the cross we must cling. Her witness in over 55 years of marriage truly put a dent in my armor. Realize what really matters, Jesus Christ.
Renee loved music and loved singing. Let's sing together hymn number 603. There are hymnals scattered around, and if you don't sing, Renee will tell you to give the hymnal to somebody who does. So if you will stand, let's stand and sing When We All Get to Heaven, hymn number 603.
This time we have several people that would like to pay tribute to Renee, and so I'm just going to call you out and you come up. And
oh, you're already up. Never mind.
Come on. This is Katie Sheriff.
Good morning. I had a flashback coming to the church this morning. I don't know if you have ever ridden in a pickup truck with Mr. Deck Thomas on a gravel road before, but I had a flashback when we used to come to church, when I would come up here with Renee and we would come to church on Sunday morning. We would get in that pickup truck, me and Ms. Ruth in the back seat, and He would drive so fast. On that gravel road, he would fishtail right and left, throwing gravel to the left and gravel to the right, and he would go flying right down the center of the road, and I was always scared to death that somebody was going to come from the opposite direction around the curve or over the hill. So by the time I got to Bethsaida, he had already scared Satan out of me, and I was just walking in Bethsaida praising Jesus I was here. But that is a flashback as I drove this morning, and I was telling Charles about it. But I am Katie Shear, and most of you know me as I Remember Lovey and Johnny Lou, and most of you know me back then as Katie McKee. And I played basketball for Renee in the late 1970s. So I've known Renee for more than 40 years. But when I was playing for Renee at Hines, Renee had this green and white pickup truck. I don't know what it was about the Thomases and the pickup trucks, but she had this green and white pickup truck, and she would have the basketball team get in the bed of that truck. She would drive down the road between Raymond and Clinton, and she would say, okay, y'all get out and run back to school. Well, it'd be about a 5-mile hike. Well, the first week that we started practice, of course, during the summer, we'd been drinking Cokes, eating brownies, doing whatever we wanted to do. It was a rough first week. So it wasn't long into the first season of basketball that green and white pickup truck died. And we were jumping for joy that pickup truck died. We just knew we wasn't going to be running anymore. So our manager told us one day, she said, Coach Warren wants us to meet the steps of the gym at 6:30 in the morning. So we didn't care. We knew there was no pickup truck. Fine with us. We were sitting on the steps, and up drives Renee in a yellow Fiesta. And we thought, yes, we will not be running anymore. And we all had grins on our faces, but I knew Renee well enough to know she was not going to give up on running. I had this vision in my mind that she was going to take us by fives and put us on top of that yellow Fiesta and drive us 5 miles down the road and make us run back. Because Renee was passionate about anything she did. If her goal was to get us in physical stamina for us to play basketball, nothing was going to stop her from doing that, because she was a determined woman, she was a passionate woman, and she gave 110% at whatever she did. And it makes me think of one other thing, one other time when Renee and I were going to run an errand, and it had to be an errand for helping somebody or doing something for somebody, because that's just about all Renee did. But as we were leaving her street, the clutch on that yellow Fiesta went out. Well, she had never moved it from fourth gear. She had just taught me how to drive a standard in that yellow Fiesta. But I didn't break the clutch, Chico. I think it was Rob. Just saying. But anyway, I said, Renee, why don't we go get the clutch fixed? Oh, no, we don't need to get the clutch fixed. Well, she left that Fiesta in fourth gear, and she drove down the road and never stopped. If we were approaching a stop sign and a car was coming to the right, she turned to the left. We're on our errand without ever putting the brake on. I thought Mr. Deck's driving was bad, but Renee pretty much beat him that day. But anyway, here again, she was passionate. Whatever she was doing that day, she was passionate about doing it. She was determined to get it done, and nothing was going to get in her way or stop her. And that's about the way she approached everything in life. But anyway, back to the running. She did not tie us to the top of the Fiesta. What she did is she said, okay, I want y'all to run between Raymond and Clinton until you see a white towel on a speed limit sign. Okay, we all thought she had gone nuts. You know, at that point, she was not called Nene, she was not called Renee, she was not called the General. We had a locker room term for her that never left the locker room, if you know what I mean. So anyway, we got on that road and we ran until we saw that white towel. The last person there had to get the white towel and bring it back. Well, that was another 5-minute hike. I wish I had a t-shirt that said, I played for Coach Warren and I survived. Because sometimes that's exactly the way that we, as a basketball team, felt. She was stern, she was hard, but like I said, she was passionate. And she wanted us to be the very best that we could be. But one thing about Renee is that she had the gift of teaching. And every opportunity that she had, she taught you something. And sometimes she created an opportunity to teach you something. And one of my teachable moments were she would have us come in as a basketball player and set our goals for what we wanted to do the next game. And so she said, Katie, how many rebounds do you want to make this week, the next game? I said, I want to make 15 rebounds. You can't make 15 rebounds. You've never made 15 rebounds. Oh, yes, I can. I can make 15 rebounds. No, you can't. I said, try me. So she marked 15 down. Well, the game that Saturday we played, and I made 21 rebounds. Well, Big Bad Sassy Me was thinking, yes, I have told Renee. I made 21 rebounds, and she said I couldn't do it. But as I look back now, I was patting myself on the back saying, atta girl. And Renee was saying, yes, I got Katie to do something that she didn't think she could do. See, she pulled the best part of me out when probably nobody else could. Why? Because she knew her pupils well enough to know what it was that's going to motivate them. She knew that all she had to do to get me to produce was tell me I couldn't do it. And by George, I was going to prove her wrong and I was going to do it, no matter what it took. But in her teaching, she created relationships. And that's one reason we were created, was to create relationships. So even though she was stern and harsh with us as players, underneath, she was forming relationships with each player, knowing that in knowing each one of them, it was helping her to teach us to be the very best that God wanted us to be. So she was always a teacher. I have a friend at church named Kathy, and my children have their son Tyler is a good friend of theirs. So when they were in the fourth, fifth grade, my boys invited Tyler and his family to come to church. Well, they'd only been visiting a couple of weeks. And Renee, and I'm sure if you know Renee, you can understand this, she went up to Kathy and she said, Kathy, why isn't Tyler in Bible drill? Well, the church that we're at, Kathy said, we don't have Bible drill. And the kids here are so much more advanced than where Tyler is, and Tyler just doesn't really know the Bible. And Renee looked at Kathy and she said, well, that's your fault. And you can just see Renee saying that, can't you? Well, Kathy was a little intimidated, and so we had a new name for her, the Intimidator. But as Kathy got to know the Intimidator, she grew to love the Intimidator. That young man, Tyler, went on to make all superior in Bible drill that year, and now he's a youth minister on the coast. And his mom and dad are very faithful and active in our church. I have another Kathy, not all my friends or named Kathy. But this Kathy, Renee would intimidate her too, and she also said, until I got to know Renee, she intimidated me, but she taught me how to be a grandmother. And you see, even though Renee was stern, sometimes intimidating, the person that she was intimidating always knew that Renee loved him, because she immediately followed up with love. And there was never a doubt in those people's mind that Renee loved them. My first friend, Kathy and her family, after Renee said that it was her fault, Renee took them food. She visited them. She found out what their needs were. And then they ended up joining our church, because Renee cared enough to create that relationship. She may have started the relationship with intimidation, but she always followed through with the relationship with love, and you never doubted that Renee loved you. Renee loved largely. She was passionate about loving. She was passionate about being generous. She was selfless, and she made sacrifices. Kind of sounds like Jesus to me. But as when my boys were young, I never was afraid to leave my boys with Renee, because I knew Renee would make all kinds of sacrifices to protect those boys. I knew that if there was ever a harm or they were in danger, she was going to sacrifice her life before my children were hurt. There's only two times where I had a question, and that was one time she took my boys hunting for the first time. I'm a city girl, never touched a gun, never owned a gun until I met Renee, and I didn't know what country life was like. And so I sent my boys on a hunting trip who knew nothing about guns, but I felt comfortable with Renee. I felt that they were secure with Renee and safe with Renee. So my kids come home and I said, well, how was hunting? Good. You know, boys, they're not full of information. Did you see a deer? Only the deers that chased us. Somehow, my boys got out of the deer stand and the deers were chasing the boys as they ran through the fields. I don't know what happened. I didn't ask. I didn't want to know. But I did question Renee's judgment on exactly what happened in that situation. I'm not real sure. The second time that I questioned Renee's judgment was when Renee took me squirrel hunting for the first time. Here I am, a city girl, never touched a gun. She gave me a 12 gauge to shoot a squirrel. Not only did I miss the squirrel, I missed the whole tree. But the 12 gauge had such a kickback that I landed on my rear end and I could have sworn I broke my nose. And Renee looked over me and she said, I have had worse things in my eye. She picked up the gun and pursued the squirrel. And I'm thinking, why did you give me a 12 gauge? I don't even know what to do with a 12 gauge. But those are the only two times that I've ever questioned Renee's judgment or her mindset. But one thing that I know for sure is that Renee loved God. And once again, Renee loved God passionately. And Renee loved God to the fullest, 110%. I really don't need to say any more about the fact of Renee loving God, because her life showed it. Renee was the hands and feet of Jesus, and there's no doubt about that. I can remember the first time I sat under Renee's teaching was in a church training group. Mike and Debbie Caldwell were there, Deborah was there, Susan was there, Cindy was there. And Renee said, and this has stuck with me for 40 years because I learned it 40 years ago. Renee said, do you really, really, I mean, do you really believe in Jesus? She said, if you really, really believe in Jesus, you're going to obey him and you're going to bear fruit. Now, she said, I'm asking you, if you really believe something, it's going to show. And if you're not bearing fruit, and if you're not obeying God's word, then do you really believe there's a hell? Renee was called a lot of things by a whole lot of different people because everybody meant something different to Renee. She had a special name for the locker room and women's basketball. Middle-aged adults called her the intimidator. We've all called her the general. But no matter who we are, no matter what walk of life we know Renee from, there's one name that every single person that knows Renee will call her, and that is a Christian, a godly woman, without a shadow of a doubt. Today we celebrate the fact that Renee has come to the end of her earthly journey, which she has worked toward for 78 years. She's met her goal, she's run a race, and Friday night she got to see Jesus face to face. He stood there and welcomed her with loving arms and said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." It just don't get no better than that. I'm going to miss my very best friend because she was my go-to person. But as bad as I'm going to miss her, I am rejoicing beyond words that right now and today, she is in the arms of Jesus Christ, and I would much rather her be there with him than here with me. Thank you, Chico.
Well, is this not the most appropriate place to have this? I mean, the gymnasium? How appropriate can this get? Y'all, it's heartbreaking as this is for me and for family and friends. It's a glorious day, as Katie said, in the Lord for Renee. I am Deborah Nichols. Renee and I taught and coached and worked together at Hines for almost 30 years. But we were sisters in Christ for over 50 years. The family asked me to share in a few words a little bit about that. And I'm not sure if I can share a lifetime of friendship, but I want to try. I see you smiling, Gene Murphy. Gene Murphy always told me I couldn't share a few words. But I want to tell you how it began, because I was telling Rob the other day, and he said, "Oh, really?" And I said, "Yeah," because everybody kind of gets the story mixed up. When I was a freshman at Hines, Renee was on maternity leave with Rob. And so when she came back to Hines, it was my sophomore year, and of course I was in athletics and pursuing physical education degree, and she was in the department and so forth, and so she had returned, and we got to be friends, and she would be running off to French camp every weekend, and so I invited her to Raymond Road Baptist Church. And so her and Chico and Rob began to start coming to Raymond Road. And of course, they were there over 40 years. And that's really, we continued our friendship. I went on to Delta State. We just continued being friends after that. But like most people in this room, I have a lifetime of memories, which includes some humorous ones, as Katie's shared with you too. And I have to tell you that one of mine go back before my coaching and teaching days at Hines. And I too, like Katie, was brought up to French camp on numerous occasions to visit Mr. Deck and Miss Ruth. And early on, Renee brought me up here. And so one night she said, "Deborah, Daddy and I are going to take you snipe hunting." And I said, "Okay." And I said, and I thought, well, Mr. Deck, he's not going to let nothing happen to me. Surely he wouldn't be involved in anything, that would. So out we went, dark, out in the back, in a field somewhere, a croaker sack in hand, and they put me over some ditch or something. I can't even remember exactly how it went. And they told me to stay there, and they were going to go around somewhere and chase up the snipes, and I would be ready with my bag. Well, you know, I sat there, and of course, Mr. Dick and Renee went on back to the house. And Miss Ruth said, Dick, Renee, y'all go get her. Go get her. So anyhow, I learned quickly what a snipe was. Snipe hunting. And then on in my early years of when I started coaching, teaching at Hines, and Dr. Muse, this was before your time now, when during exam week, we would give our exams early in the athletic department, so Renee and Terry and I would go up on the rooftop and sunbathe during exam week. You know, Renee coached basketball, I don't even know how many years, and I coached softball, but I traveled with them on all the basketball trips, and I kept the books, and my job was also supposed to be when she got a little out of control, you know, Renee could do that too, I was supposed to kind of gauge her back or cool her down or, you know, pull her back or whatever you do to try to get them to not get a technical or thrown out of the game, but I believe we were at East Central, and it didn't work this time, y'all. She said too much, and they threw her out. Well, needless to say, I had to coach the rest of the game. Well, y'all, I am 1-0 in my basketball career. So that worked out okay. But we were at a bowl game. I'm going to tell you one more little funny. We were at a bowl game in Tyler, Texas. And I see him grinning already. And there was a reception for both teams. And of course, Renee, she decided she wanted to go get a soft drink. So she offered to bring Gene Murphy a soft drink back. And when she did, she put a whole little bit of a lot of Jack Daniels in it. Well, needless to say, when Gene took a drink, his bald head broke out in a sweat. But in spite of these stories y'all have just shared, Renee created a great working environment. She was a mentor, she was a leader, and she led by example. That's what we loved about her. And she had high expectations for all of the coaches. I was talking to Jeff Terrell last night and some of the others, you know. I saw Joe Regan's out here and, of course, Coach Murphy and Dot. And so, you know, the working relationship was phenomenal. Dr. Muse was a phenomenal president with, you know, in seeing the vision of getting her as athletic director and the impact it had on all of us. And so I truly believe Renee was admired and respected by all her coaches, as well as her colleagues who worked throughout the years with her. If time permitted, and I'm not going to go into it, y'all, but I would love to tell you some of the stories, because I went on 12 mission trips we shared together through Raymond Road with Renee. And I can tell you she was in charge. She was, and she was, we had a man that went with us a lot, Mr. Houston. Betty's back here in the audience. She, her husband got her this general hat, wrote general across the front. And I mean, he gave her that hat, and she wore that hat because we all knew she was in control. So she was truly, y'all, a spiritual giant in the life of the church at Raymond Road Baptist Church. She truly was. And let me close by just sharing with you some of the other comments that I've seen. I've heard so many things about Renee over the years, and truly I have been a part of Renee's life. She, from earlier, and she was like a sister to me. And we just did so many things together and shared so much time together, and she was such an influence in the life of so many people. But I saw some of this through Facebook and different things, and then, of course, my own heart and what she meant to me. But I thought, you know, these are such just great, true statements, and it's one of them was, what a legacy she leaves. You know, y'all think about the legacy that you will leave when we all come to be with Jesus. She was a servant to God and all her family. I mean, there was nothing she wouldn't do for this family. And she truly loved every one of y'all. There is no doubt about that. She taught me so much that I have carried on throughout my life. You're right. A lot of people, you know, I think Kathy Long was one of them, and I remember a little lady in my church, Miss Cleo Cranford. They, at first, they were scared of Renee, but they saw through that and saw the love and the care that she really had for everybody. And so she has just taught me so much that if I could just implement a small portion of her life into my life, and especially my Christian walk, well then, you know, I will be happy. Her influence will forever be stamped on my life and in my heart. She will, and I got Cindy Gibson shared this one, and I thought that's so true for me too. She will forever be one of my lifetime heroes. A faithful friend, I will miss her dearly. Amy Watts, her faith is now sight. I will see you again, my friend, one day.
Hurry up, Tony. We ain't got long. Let's go. I'd be remiss if I didn't get up here and tell how much Curtis and I had the best sister in the world. She was fine. She was a general, and I don't know what intimidated means, but I was scared. She was a fine, fine lady, and this is a great tribute to her. Thank you all. The main thing I wanted to say was thank you for coming. People from Raymond Road, right here in French Camp, they came out for this celebration, and that's what it is. It's definitely a celebration, and I won't get into all of the funny things that we had, because that would take another 30 minutes, I'm sure. But I want you to listen. Oh, I did want to say this. If I have any claim to fame, and I've told you all this, Cheryl, it will be, as Curtis and I would be introduced with Renee, we'd be standing there and they'd say, who are these guys? They'd say, those are Renee's brothers. That is my claim to fame. And I thank Curtis also. But what a tribute. You know, we have one guy here right now that I don't know his name. And most of you don't know his name, but he's Anna Frances' husband. Commonly referred to, his Anna Frances was a Bible teacher. She taught Bible just like Renee did. She was passionate about it. And I said that as a joke, but I appreciate them and all of you. Listen to the words of this song. I'm not going to sing it, so don't leave. It's sort of sad, but Renee's got the victory right now. And we're all just tickled to death for her. And she won the game, and I lost. Somebody's got to lose. Dottie Rambo wrote and recorded this song. It's called Tears Will Never Stain the Streets. If I could count the tears that have fallen, nothing wrong with tears, it would seem like an ocean to me. And if my heart were a window you could look through, oh, the pain and scars that you would see. I've never met one man without sorrow, never looked into the eyes of anyone with no pain. But there's a land where grief is a stranger and joy is the only song they sing. I have questioned the loss of a loved one. The grave seems so final and cold. But we'll meet again where death has no victory, in a land where we'll never grow old. And then the main verse of this, tears will never stain the streets of that city, nor wreaths of death on the mansion door. Teardrops aren't welcome beyond the gates of glory, because the heart will never break anymore. Renee won. Let's celebrate it today. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
On behalf of our grandmother, our grandfather asked us to read her favorite chapter, the love chapter. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become as sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing.
And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things.
Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away.
When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am knows. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of all of these is love. So last night when me and Brooks were trying to decide how we were gonna split up this chapter and who was gonna read what and make sure we didn't stumble over our words, I was looking through her Bible. And if you know her, you know she made all these little notes in the margins. And I was going through reading some, and I came across these two bookmarks. And they're the bookmarks from Meemaw and Papa's obituary. And on the back of Meemaw's obituary, there's this quote. And when I read it, I could just see Nene reading this whenever she missed her mom. So I thought it would be good to read to all of y'all. And maybe it would bring a little bit of comfort. So the title is When I Must Leave You. When I must leave you for a little while, please do not grieve and shed wild tears. And hug your sorrow to you through the years. But start out bravely with a gallant smile. And for my sake and in my name, live on and do all things the same. Feed not your loneliness on empty days, but fill each waking hour in useful ways. Reach out your hand in comfort and in cheer. And I in turn will comfort you and hold you near. And never, never be afraid to die. for I am waiting for you in the sky.
As many know, my grandmother meant a lot to me. So if there's one thing I could say, it's this. Dear Nene, today we are laying you to rest. Without a doubt in our minds, we know that you are rejoicing with the Lord. Your love for others was mighty and deep. I thank God that he sacrificed his son for our sins so that we too can rejoice one day. Because of this promise, this is not goodbye for forever, only for a little while. Keep an eye out on me. I promise to make you proud. Thank you for instilling the love of Christ in me. Until we meet again, your one and only Brooksy.
Well, I was doing pretty good until then. My name is Gary Anglin Thomas. At least that's what I thought it was until I was 9 years old. That's because the Thomases have a way of making you feel at home, feel like you were part of the family. Renee was my hero. She made everybody feel special, didn't she? You thought you were special. I thought I was special. What a motivator she was. If she said you could do something, you knew you could do it. When we played games as little children, I wanted to be on her side when we played football or basketball. And I have a feeling that the other night, when she entered heaven, Jesus said, Renee, I want you to be on my side. praise. And when we first begun,
got your orders. I got mine too. She told me what she wanted me to say. She gave me freedom to pick the way I wanted to say it. I'll tell you that I have two daughters that both in Hines. One is getting ready to finish, and I had a son that chose to go to another community college up in, I won't tell you the name of it. It's in Senatobia, and it starts with an S, or an N. But I want to tell you, my two girls would come home and get to talking to Renee about Hines, and they loved it there. And they're here, and I just want to say that Hines has been great, and I know that Renee had a big part of that. One of my girls is a manager on one of the teams, and she didn't have to really do much. All she had to do was mention that she knew Renee Warren. They probably would have let her coach. I don't know. But I want to share a verse in Psalm 16. Interesting verse the Lord led me to. It says, Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You know, the wonderful thing about the Christian life is that we can enjoy life here in this land in which we are living as strangers. And to be honest with you, sometimes life can be tough here, but even in the midst of toughness, you can still have joy. And Renee went through a lot, and she always, or not always, when I saw her, she'd always have a little twinkle in her eye, and she would always have something positive. She was that type of a person. And she has presented life as fun. You know, several times I met her before they moved back to French Camp, but I really didn't get to know her till they joined our church, she and Chico, and became active. And I mean active. You people from Raymond Road, you know what I'm talking about. They were active, and they are. Chico, don't you forget that. And she stayed active. I remember she first moved here. She was teaching a little class over here in the gym, and I had the little boys over in the other building. And I made a deal with them, as I did. I said, now, boys, if y'all pay attention to me for 20 minutes, then we'll go to the gym and play. And they were really good. Some of them are here. I asked them if they remembered this, and they said, yeah. And so when we finished our 20 minutes, they took off running, and I did, and I walked. And they came over here, and all of a sudden they were running back as fast as they could run. And I said, what's wrong? And they said, Aunt Nay's in the gym with her class. And so I turned around and started running too. And one of them looked at me and said, are you scared of her too? And I said, I sure am. And I was telling her about that later. We were laughing about it. And she said, well, you need to do more running. She took that as a teaching moment, as was mentioned. She liked to keep people on the straight and narrow. The first thing this verse speaks about is the path of life. And what is this? This is what she wanted me to share. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But then in Romans 6:23, it says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through King Jesus Christ. You see, the path of life for the Christian leads from sin and its wages, which is death, to eternal life. And folks, that's the path that Renee walked her entire life from that 1954 year when she accepted Jesus. She walked that path, and she led other people to walk that path as we shared. You know, there's only one path to heaven. In Matthew 7:13 and 14, it says, he entered the narrow gate, For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many people that go that way. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and there be few that find it. And the key verse in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. You see, Renee knew Jesus as her Savior, and she walked that path, his path, to heaven. She had a relationship with him, and she lets you know about that relationship. Our verse speaks of that path that Renee has walked, and it also speaks of the presence of joy. Christians have a life of joy here, but it doesn't end here. The real presence of joy that Renee has entered into, she entered when she walked a few days ago into the presence of King Jesus. She was fun. I tell you, you know, I laugh about that story about the boys and running and all of that, but they're also, you remember, some of y'all remember her family, especially when they first moved up here, when she moved up here. Every afternoon, she had everybody come out and walk around the lake. Everybody. How many of y'all remember that? Went around the lake, and Glenn's going, yeah, because Glenn led the rebellion against that. Either you or Kevin, you know. That lasted about a week or two, and finally they decided they weren't going to do that. Another time, Chico and Renee invited us over to eat fish because they caught fish. I think Chico, you caught most of them, if I remember, but at least he said he did. Anyway, they caught all these fish, and we came over and we had fish, and Renee made us play. And you know what I mean when I say she made us play. Some Bible drill games. Now, you talk about humiliating. There were some adults, including this preacher, that were kind of humiliated, but she was fun. She had this thing, you'd say something, then throw the ball and do all of that, and I'm so uncoordinated, I would get the verse right and then drop the ball. That's kind of the way it was, but she was fun, and kids loved her. And in fact, and this is an unusual thing, I'll tell you how it happened. I remember when I was working on this message, I thought, wouldn't it be great if somehow somebody, the people could see the kids do some of their Bible drill? But I thought, that's really kind of weird in a funeral, so I better not. Well, then I think Tracy called and said, we were wondering if maybe the kids could do some Bible drill, but we don't know about asking Uncle Chico. And I said, well, I'll ask Uncle Chico. And if Uncle Chico says no, we won't do it. But Uncle Chico jumped on it. So I'm going to have some of the kids. Where y'all at? They're over here. This not. Don't worry, it's not a whole Bible drill. But they want to do this because they love Aunt Nay, and they want Aunt Nay to show their honor to her. So I'm going to let them do. I'm not sure what it's going to be. Bradley's involved in that, so.
Start. Please recite. Attention. Lift your Bible. Psalm 119:10. Start. Please recite. Bible's at your side. Attention. John 3:16. Start. Which side?
I will tell you that Renee did many things in this life, as you've heard. But what she did with those Bible drill kids, not only here, but at Raymond Road and all through her life, that was her passion. That was what she wanted children to hide, the Word of God in their hearts. Because when you've got the Word of God in your heart, you have hope and help and guidance no matter what. And she's going to be missed, and we are committed to keeping her program going. Renee's relationship with the Lord and her walk with Him allowed her to lead these children and thousands of other children and teenagers and college students to the path of joy. And she is going to be missed. And the path led to pleasures that led to the presence of God and to eternal joy. I want to read a passage quickly that describes Renee today. It's in Revelation 22. And He showed me a pure river of life, water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. And in the midst of it, and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and forever. The path that leads to God leads here. Notice those pleasures, the water of life, the tree of life that you eat and you never die. No more curse, no more sin, no more death. We will be with the Lamb of God, Jesus. No more night, no more separation, no more sorrow. She will reign with Jesus. I had someone one time talking about angels, and they said somebody that had passed away became an angel. But listen, Renee didn't become an angel. She's up there ordering them around. I know what she's doing, and that's what we will do. You know, listen, this life is nothing compared to the pleasures that lie ahead for the Christian. We don't need to mourn for Renee. We need to mourn for ourselves, because she is experiencing eternal joy because she walked the path and she led others to walk the path. And all those years teaching and all those years coaching and all those years as an administrator and as a Bible drill leader,
Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The Lord was present in her life, and she had joy, and she brought joy, and right now she is in eternal joy and pleasure. And she is with her mama and her daddy. When I visited her in the hospital a couple of weeks ago, they were trying to get some blood. They were just trying, and they couldn't get any blood, and they just kept on, and she was hurting, and it was not good. And I heard her crying to her mama. There's no more crying for her mama now. Praise the Lord. She is with her mother. She is with her father. She is with her Lord Jesus Christ. And all of us who know Renee will be reunited with her too. But this is true only for those of us who are on the path to heaven. The fact is that there are people who are not on the path to heaven. The fact is that unless you have a relationship with Jesus, you are on a different path. And folks, I'm not talking about Baptist or Pentecostal or Methodist or Catholic. I'm talking about a path that King Jesus made for us on the cross of Calvary. If we are not willing to turn and repent from our sins and turn to Him in faith and in belief and call upon His name, we will never get on the right path. And I will say that as long as I knew Renee, she wanted to steer people to that path. The path of faith in Jesus Christ. The path of the cross. Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. And I pray that you are on that path, because that's why He gave His life. Family, we mourn for you because we all will miss this wonderful woman. Again, we do not mourn for her, and we do not need to mourn for her for two reasons. One is she is with the Lord Jesus. And two is one day we will be with her, with the Lord Jesus, if we have know Him. And we can mourn because we miss Him. We can mourn because, to be honest with you, I'm a little jealous because she's with Jesus and we're not. But my friend, if you do not know Jesus, I think the last thing Renee would have anybody to say would come to Him. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for this wonderful woman, this precious woman that meant so much to all of us. And I pray that You would lead us on the path that she walked, the path that leads to You. And I pray that for if there's anyone here that doesn't know You as their Savior, that they would come to You today. Lord, I lift up this family. I lift up these friends. I pray that You would just hold them when they need to be held. Help us to laugh. Help us to laugh and remember and enjoy those memories and the good times. And help us to hold each other during the times when we're lonely. And Lord, we know Your Spirit is going to be there for all of us. Thank You, Lord, for Renee and her life, but most of all, we thank You for Jesus and His life that He shed for us on the cross of Calvary. I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
like a river attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul.
Tony wanted me to say